Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Nehemiah, chapter 13. We're going to read the first two verses together. I'll read verse 1. You join me on verse 2. On that day they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you help your people? Lord, I do not wish to preach a good sermon. I've never prayed one time to preach a good sermon. I have begged you to meet the needs of our people. I pray that you do that tonight. Would you help us in a special way in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I would like to help the people in this room more than any group of people in the world. Say why? Because I love this group of people more than anybody else in the world. I want you to know what the blessing of God on your life means. Folks, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a sick world. We live in an evil world, and we live in a wicked world. But can I tell you something? God's still alive. God did not die. You'll get tired of me saying this. God wrote that book, not man. Nehemiah did not write the book of Nehemiah. God wrote it. Nehemiah may have been the penman, but God wrote the book. Now, I just want to preach the book to you so that you understand the sweet presence of God to help you a little bit more. Now, listen to me very carefully tonight. Here's the problem. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. You know, we live in a day and age where we understand that, but we don't want to admit that. We have been separated from God by a curse called sin. Now, the effects of sin can be still felt. Once you get saved, guess what? The curse is over, but those effects are still there. You can get right with God and get refellowshipped with God by getting saved, but your body and your life will still feel the effects of the sowing and reaping of sin. God did not promise to take the effects of sowing and reaping away. He did promise to give you eternal life. He did promise to not judge you for your sin, because once you get saved, the judgment's already been cared for. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do you want to continue in sin? Do you want to live the curse of sin on your life? Wouldn't you like to find the blessing of God? I want to take my sin-cursed life and turn it into a blessing. I really do. By the way, God said that you can. I want you to notice in Nehemiah 13, verse 2, the last phrase there. It says, "Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing." Wow. God said he could turn the curse into a blessing. Someone once said, and I don't know who originated this, but that we ought to take the lemons life hands you and turn them into lemonade. I'm not as nice with my illustrations. There's a young man years ago I made a statement to. He had a bad situation handed to him. And this is what I told him. I said, "You can take the manure that the devil shovels in your life and sit down and complain about the smell, or you can use it, turn it into fertilizer, and grow because of it. Your choice. You're going to sit there and complain about it, or you're going to turn it into something worthwhile and grow with it." Now, you say, that's gross. Yes, it is, but that's where we live. God tells us to turn our curse into a blessing. God says you can turn your curse into a blessing. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we have recorded what we call the fall of man. I'm not sure I like that term. I use that term. Fall indicates accident. It wasn't an accident. Man chose to sin. I don't know that there's a better term, but I just, to me, falling, you know, you don't fall on purpose. That term fall means, well, I accidentally was led into this and I tripped up. And no, they didn't trip up. God told them what to do. They disobeyed. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole story of the fall of man. You know it. I've used it often. You've heard it often. But I want to pull one thing out of that story, and we're going to springboard from there. Yes, man was tempted. Can I tell you something? Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. Jesus was tempted of the devil. Did he sin? Huh. So it wasn't the temptation that the issue, it was the yielding to the temptation that became the sin. Now, I will say this, the farther you stay away from temptation, the less likely you are to yield to the temptation you will be. Folks, so many Christians are living right here. We're living too close to temptation. Now, where you draw your line, I cannot tell you what to do. But you got a preacher that's going to be over here saying, come over this way as far away as you can get. Don't get mad at me if I say you're getting too close. Say, why is that? Because I'd like to keep your young people pure and holy, and they hit this altar pure. The farther we stay away from that line, the better off we are. But may I say this, we're still all cursed with sin. We're still all sinners. Now, man chose to disobey God in the Garden of Eden. Did you ever notice? The devil tempted Eve, but he credits man with the sin. Who took of the fruit first? But I want you to notice, and we won't take time to turn there because I got a lot of preaching to do in a short amount of time here. But the Bible says that Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and gave also unto her husband with her. He was standing right next to her. God commanded Adam not to do this and said, you watch over her. Adam wasn't paying attention to his wife, and he listened to his wife over God. He didn't say when the devil was telling her to do wrong, let's get out of here. They listened to the wrong too long, and they yielded. Now, more happened that day than most people realize. There was more than just one curse that took place. It was more than just the fact that man lost his ticket to heaven and needed salvation. God placed several curses that day. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. And then I'm going to show you just a few things here. Keep your Bible open, Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you a little bit about what happened. By the way, God also says, turn your curse into a blessing. Every one of these curses can be turned into a blessing. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now look at me. First thing that God cursed that day was the devil. That old serpent. Now, listen to me very carefully. The snake is still a cursed creature. We're not bringing snakes into the church, amen? Now, you ought to see the eyeballs looking at me right now. My mother's especially. I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not afraid of them. I respect them. I am not afraid of them. My mother is afraid of them. Is all you have to do is say the word. I was watching my mom go back to her like this. Many of you are afraid of snakes. Brother Hiles was afraid of snakes. good night one time. I was working on staff. I had a pair of snakeskin boots that somebody gave me. I walked into his office. He said, "Get those things out of my office." I said, "What?" He said, "Get those things out of my office." I said, "What things?" He said, "Those snakeskins." I said, "They're dead." He said, "I don't care. I don't like them." I never wore those boots again in his office. Say why? He was afraid of them. He did not like snakes. He didn't like mice. He was deathly afraid of mice. He had mouse traps, mouse poison. He had those little electronic boxes that were supposed to ward off mice. He had them everywhere. I don't know if they did any good, but it made him feel better. Now, wait a minute. The snake is still a cursed. When you get into evil and why is it that most of your gangs use snakes? They're involved in evil. You get into any of your occult type religions and they all deal with the snake. And you get into your Eastern religions that are all based on Satanism. They deal with the snake. I'm probably going to get in trouble here, but just add it to the list. Be careful getting your children involved in too much of the karate and the jujitsu and judo and the Eastern religion self-defenses. I'm not saying it's wrong, but every one of them deal with snakes. It's more than just self-defense. Now, I'm not saying they're bad things, but if you get involved in them too deeply, you'll find out I'm right. Okay? That's all I'm going to say right there, all right? Now, one day, though, that cursed snake is going to get turned into a blessing to us. Say, what are you talking about? Because my Bible says in the book of Revelation that one day that old serpent, the devil, God's going to cast him into hell. Amen. He will never more bother us. And that curse will then be turned into a blessing for you and me. Can I tell you something? You think you're mad at the devil? How do you think God feels? Listen to me very carefully here. You know how bad the devil bothers you. Do you realize that every moment of the day, virtually, the devil is in God's face accusing you to God the Father? If you had somebody that was nagging you and constantly telling you all the bad somebody did, wouldn't you like to get rid of them? There are some people in this world I choose not to talk to. Say why? Because that's all it is yak, 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 yak about somebody, something bad. I don't listen to it. I really don't. Say, what do you do? I hang the phone up if they won't shut up. Say, what happens when they call back? I don't answer. That's what voicemail's for. You say, you do that? Call me and start talking bad. You'll find out. Say, what is that? One day that curse is going to turn into a blessing. We're going to watch God turn the devil into hell. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, into hell forever. Whew. That is going to be a blessed day. I am not for hurting people, but I am for hurting the devil. He's not a people. He's the devil. Everybody doing all right? All right. So that was one thing cursed. Next, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16. And by the way, I'm taking these in scriptural order, not in priority, just the order God has it. Verse 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Sorrow after they're born too. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The second thing that was cursed that day was woman. Now, just so you know, God always starts at the bottom and works his way up. Man's curse is a little tougher. Just hang in there. And if you'll listen to me, and I realize I have young children in here, I have older adults in here, I will be very cautious with what I say here, but there's some things I think you need to understand. Part of a lady's instability and her lack of better terminology, her hormonal instability is a result of sin. If you notice, it says, I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Those are dealing with that instability. Okay? Now, You want to get mad at the curse. Okay? You say, why was that? Okay, the pain of childbirth. God knows there's five words in the English language I love more than any other. Thank God I'm a man. Thank God I'm a man. No man in the world would ever have a baby for more than one reason. But I promise you this, man's smart enough not to do it a second time. Say why? We ain't going to put ourselves through that kind of pain. You know, a woman can go through 9 months, you know, incubating that critter, go to the jaws of death, do what no human being should probably have to ever do, and as soon as that puppy's hatched, she forgets the pain. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. You know, my mom is, you know, 437 years old. No, she's not. I'm teasing. But my mom is well past childbearing years. Amen? Can I tell you something? My mom can still look at a baby and wish she had another one. Say why? Because that's the way God made a woman, not a man. You say why? She forgets the pain. There's no way I'm forgetting that pain. Mm-mm. I've had 5 kidney stones. Brother Gus, I don't care what you say. There's nothing more painful than that. You must have had little ones, amen? Whew. I've birthed 5 of them puppies. If there's pain worse than that, I don't want it. Now, wait a minute. I will say this. You can turn that curse into a blessing. A woman takes that curse and she has a child, all of a sudden that becomes a great blessing. But can I tell you something? Had it not been for Eve, there would have been no pain. Now, ladies, you can slap her when you get to heaven, not me. But all of that instability, all of that up and down, all of that, you know, all that crying when you don't know why you're crying kind of business, all of the things that go with that, can I tell you something? That's part of the curse of sin. But it can also be turned into a blessing. God could use you to birth children that'll do great things for him. You can turn that curse into a blessing. The Bible also says later in that verse, thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. Can I tell you what the women's right movement's all about? Disobeying God. By the way, listen to this statement very, very carefully. I think the role of a woman is probably one of the highest roles there is. But God did not make you to rule over man. God said you're to submit to the leadership of your husband. Now, that does not mean a woman's not capable of doing things. The reason we have women that are now ruling over us is because man won't step up and do it. We need men to be men, not house husbands. God help us. Any man that's satisfied letting his wife go to work and he stays home and watches the kids, something's not right. I'm sorry. My wife made me do that once or twice. That's enough. Amen. You say, why? God didn't make me to do that. God made me go work. You stay home and deal with them. I'll go out and earn the money, and I'll beat them when I get home. Amen. Folks, a submissive wife is not a slave. She's fulfilling her role as a lady. By the way, we need men that can lead ladies, not bully them. I got more respect for a pimp than I do a bully man. Fellas, you ought not lift your hand against your wife. If the only way you can lead her is to hit her, come see me. Say why? We'll do some hitting. I've got no use for a man that'll hit a woman. None. None. You want to get me mad? That'll do it. My dad happened to teach me a long time ago, men don't hit ladies. My Bible happens to teach me that. By the way, boys, keep your hands off your sisters. Y'all not hit them. And girls, that doesn't give you the right to hit your brothers either. Just thought I'd throw that one in there, amen? And by the way, I think did you ever see these ERA hussies? Did you ever look at Nancy Pelosi? Boy, don't you want to grow up and have your daughter look like her? God help us that they look like Hillary. Did you ever notice the ladies that push hardest to be a man? They're not real nice looking ladies. I'm not going to go any farther with that. But when you step out of position, be careful. Now, I'm not saying that it's right for a lady that does a job and a man that does the same job. I believe that if you're doing a job, you get paid by the job, not because of what your gender is. By the way, you get paid for the job because of what your job is, not what color your skin is, whether it's white, black, green, purple, or chartreuse. It's a job. You do the job. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
I'm okay with this. Hang in there. I'm happy. You might not be. By the way, a submissive wife will be a secure wife. A submissive lady will be a secure lady. You get insecure when you start stepping out of your role. I know what I'm talking about. We've got very capable ladies around here. But I'll promise you, you step out of line, you're going to start getting insecure. And I'll help snap you back into line, amen? Not in a mean way, but we'll get you put back in place. You say, why? Because I want you to be stable. I want you to be secure. Can I tell you, according to God, your curse can be turned into a blessing if you'll submit. I better go on. Verse number 17, the Bible says that the earth was cursed. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Now, look at me. God cursed the ground. God cursed the earth. Part of the curse on man was the earth. Now, we'll read in a little while here how God cursed man. But I want you to know, part of the curse of man was the curse of the ground or the earth. Now, weeds are part of the curse. Trust me, they are. My soul, this time of the year, you can't grow anything but weeds. Brother Lowther texted me about a week ago. I was about ready to slap him through the phone. He said, I'm thinking about going to a store and finding out if I can find dandelion seeds. He said, pretty yellow flowers and you can eat the leaves. He said, then I don't have to mow. I thought, you can eat all the weeds you want. I'm not eating them, amen? And I don't think they're pretty yellow flowers, just so you know. I hate those stupid things. There's only one thing that I hate worse than dandelions, and that's chickweed. God help us, that stuff. I cannot get rid of it all. You can buy a bag of potting soil and get weeds. Did you ever notice that? Every part of ground is cursed. You buy a bag of potting soil and say 99.9% weed free. Guess what? That one-tenth of 1% is everywhere. It multiplies like amoebas, you know, it just everywhere. Now, wait a minute. You can't plant, you can decide you're not going to plant a garden, and you're not going to plant flowers because of all the weeds. But guess what? The weeds will be there either way. Or you can decide to grow some food and have some beautiful flowers to encourage yourself and uplift yourself if you choose. You can take the curse and turn it into a blessing or sit there and complain about the curse. I finished planting most of my garden yesterday. I plowed that thing up a couple times already this year. And the weeds are amazing how far down they go. Man, I pulled out a half a wheelbarrow load of weeds, and I've got lettuce just about ready to pick, and I've got spinach up, and I've got peas up. Yes, I planted peas, though I don't like them. I'll eat them raw, but not cooked. Amen. But I've got things up. But man, I pulled out a half a wheelbarrow load of weeds. I couldn't believe it. It's only been a few weeks. I don't know where these things magically come from, but they're everywhere. By the way, some of those weeds can even be useful for food or food supplements. You go to the average health food store and it's full of weeds. You got thistles and thistle weed and black seed thistle, and you got this thistle and you got this weed. You got all kinds of stuff. They've made billions of dollars off of the curse, weeds. And by the way, I'm not against it. And if you take it and it helps you, God bless you. That's fine. I take bee pollen every day of my life. You say, why? Because it helps me with my allergies. I'm going through this season cruising right now. Now, I've helped hundreds of people with it, but I've had people take it, and it was like drinking a glass of water. Didn't do anything for them. I understand that. It's just, that's why there's so many different types of aspirin out there, because not all of them are exactly the same, and it affects people differently. I understand that. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. You can turn the curse of weeds into a blessing. That's what your children do when they go out and pull out those pretty flowers. Here, Mommy. You know, you're thinking, it's a dandelion. Yeah, and every mom in the world goes, oh, they're so beautiful. You're a liar. Anyway, take the curse and turn it into a blessing. And by the way, you say, well, I just don't have a green thumb. It doesn't take any green thumb to plant weeds, amen? Good night. A little bit of fertilizer. You can grow anything. I have two plants in my house that are from Brother Hiles' funeral. He died in 2001. I've had these things for over 13 years. I've split them a few times. I still have them. They still bloom. Say why? I work real hard at keeping those things alive. I like those. They're a reminder of someone special to me. Often, somebody will lose a child, or somebody will lose somebody very dear to them, and I'll tell them, why don't you go plant a tree in your yard? Go plant something that's going to be there a long time that will remind you of them. Plant something alive in their memory. Keep their memory alive with something that's living. By the way, will there be weeds come up? Yeah, every time I get my kids out there helping me with weeds, I remind them every one of those just as a remind you of your sin. I was pulling weeds yesterday in my garden. I said, God, I didn't sin that much, did I? And he said, yes. All right, good night. Next, man was cursed. Look at Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That wasn't talking about you ate so much that you were sweating, okay? Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Man was cursed with sweat for labor. You realize there was a day before sin that man could work all day long and not sweat? Oh, to God for that day again. It's all I got to do is think about work and I can start sweating. Man, I can work up a sweat. I love working out in my garden and in my flowers and mowing my grass, but when I'm done, just hand me a bar of soap. I don't need the water, amen? I can lather it up good. I'm that kind of person. I'm sweating now. I right now have water running down my back. I know you're freezing and I'm sweating death up here. Say why? Because that's just the way it is. Man used to work with no sweat before sin. By the way, guess what? When we get to heaven and there's a new heaven and there is a new earth, we'll work for eternity and never sweat. Sweat will not be a part of the curse. Did you ever get sweat in your eyes? Oh, my soul. And when you got glasses on, and when you sweat like I do, the sweat rolls out over top of your eyebrows, right down the front of your glasses, and you can't see nothing. And then you go to wipe it off, and it's just one big white smear. You're like, okay, now what am I doing? Hang on. And you can't wipe it off on anything because everything else is wet. You're like, throw the stupid things out. I'm working without them. I can't Can't see with them, can't see without them. Here we go, amen. Now, wait a minute. You can decide, though, that you're going to not work because you'll sweat. That's where we live in our generation today. We live in a bunch of mamby-pamby pansies that are afraid to work. I think you ought to teach your children how to work. I think you ought to teach teenagers how to work. I think we ought to teach men to work. I think we ought to teach ladies to work. Now, listen to me carefully. Boys and girls, your work is your schoolwork. Your work is your schoolwork. I'm probably going to get mommies and daddies mad at me right now, but the most important work you can teach your children to do is their schoolwork. Now, I think they ought to pick the room up. I think they ought to help you make their bed. I think they ought to help you with dragging laundry back and forth. And I think the boys ought to help with the trash and with the mowing of the yard as they get older and that kind of thing. I understand all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, a 4-year-old doesn't work like a 40-year-old. By the way, a 4-year-old's not supposed to work like a 40-year-old. If a 4-year-old can outwork a 40-year-old, something's wrong. If a 14-year-old can outwork a 40-year-old, something's wrong. There's not a one of you 14-year-olds that can outwork me, I promise you. I promise you. Say why? I'm not about to let you win. Now, you might be stronger than me. You might be able to do some of the physical things I cannot do. But may I say this, you won't outwork me. I'll match my hours against just about anybody in here. Ask my wife. I put a lot of hours in. And when I don't, when I'm not working here, I'm working home too. I've got a house to keep up. I got gardens to do. I got miles to walk, amen, to wear off all the fat that I didn't wear off yet. Can I tell you something? We need boys and girls to learn how to do their work. Your schoolwork is your employment. Get it done. Amen? Trying to help you, mamas. Mamas, your housework. That's your work. Get it done. Quit complaining about it. It's there. You say, well, I just don't like doing it. You think your husband likes doing everything he does at work? And by the way, fellas, if your wife works, you ought to help her around the house. If she's helping you pay the bills, then you ought to help her with the housework, not sit there on your blessed assurance and complain that it's not done. Instead of complaining, get up off your backside and do it. Well, that's housework. Yeah, that hand cleans toilets too. That hand can push a vacuum cleaner and dust. And by the way, it does. Everybody doing okay? All right. Teach your children that work is a good word. Fellas, get up and go to work. I'll just throw my fit now. Showing up to work 5 minutes late is not showing up to work on time. Get to work and get there on time. Get your carcass out of bed. Well, I'm tired. No, who's not? Tired people run the world. I'm just so tired. No. That's what you're supposed to be. That means you've been working. Or you've been up playing all night instead of sleeping so that you... Anyway, we're not going there. Use your work to help people. Turn your curse into a blessing. Amen. And I'm going to give you one last thing here and we'll go to the house. Malachi chapter 3. Some of you have cursed finances. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The Bible says in the verse before thee, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. Can I tell you something? Some of you, listen to this statement. If you don't obey God with your tithe, are cursing your job. I believe there are men in this room, because you tithe and because you've been obedient in your tithing, God has kept your job and kept your business profitable. Amen. Whether you own it or work for somebody else. Some of you, you're the best reason for your employer to stay in business. I believe that. God can bless the company you work for to keep you employed because you obey God with your tithes and your offerings. By the way, there's a difference between a tithe and an offering. A tithe is the first 10%. Didn't matter which one it was. If you had 100 cattle, you walked it through, the first one went this way, that was number one, it went in the tithe pen. Next nine passed through, number 11 came through, you grabbed it. Now, an offering was the best you had. An offering, you took the best of your flocks, you took the best of your herds, you took the best of your crop and gave that. That's an offering. The tithe, you didn't have a choice. Whichever one came through the gate first, that was it. That means this, the first check you write ought to be your tithe check. That's on your gross, not what you take home. That means when you get your income tax check back, if you get one, you tithe on that too. God said of all your increase. Everybody doing okay? I'm not asking for me. I'm asking you so you don't get cursed. Some of you are constantly being cursed with your finances. You can't outgive God. You cannot do it. My wife and I work very, very, very hard at making sure that we give to God what we should give. I got my tithing statement this year. I was shocked. I looked at that thing. I asked my secretary, "You sure this is right?" She said, "Uh-huh." "Why?" I said, "Wow. I won't tell you, but I was surprised. My wife and I got to double tithe this year, amen." I was excited about that. That's the stuff just that got recorded. I was about to have a spell. No wonder God's been so good. Man, we were having fun. We have watched God do things. Boy, that's exciting. Some of you live with a curse on your finances. You say, "Well, I've not been taught to tithe." It's time to learn. Not because I need your money. This is God's work. This is God's house. God pastors this church. I'm his assistant pastor. And he'll finance his work. He'll bring somebody in. But may I tell you this? You'll have the blessing of God on your life if you'll, and blessing on your finances if you'll learn to tithe. Say, "Well, I haven't been tithing for a long time." Catch up. You owe God. You work it out with God how you're going to do it, but work it out. Because can I tell you something? You'll be cursed until then. Turn your curse into a blessing. You start, this thing of tithing is very foreign anymore. And preachers get labeled for, "Oh, you're just a money grabbing preacher." I don't money grab. I don't come to you poor mouth and, "Oh, we got to have your money to pay the bills." I'm trying to be as wise as I can be. We spent a few $100 and put brand new thermostats in here. The first, in 2 months, they were paid for. We knocked $150 a month off of our electric bill just by putting new thermostats in. I'm trying hard to save your money and God's money, trying to be wise in spending it. But may I say this? You could see the blessing of God. You ought to see how many businesses help us just because we're trying to use God's money the right way. Some of you could help the business that you work at if you'd start tithing on the money they give you. I believe that. I know a man in this church. God has blessed his business unbelievably because of his tithing and because of the stand he has taken. I mean exponentially. Say why? I happen to know how the man gives. Now, I couldn't put a dollar amount on it, but every time I turn around, he's saying, "Brother Bush, you know somebody that needs help? Know somebody that needs help?" God's blessing that. God is blessing that. Oh, by the way, let me say this. God took one other curse, turned it into a great blessing. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." But his curse turned into our greatest blessing called eternal life and salvation. Nehemiah chapter 13. God said you could take your curse and turn it into a blessing. Let me ask you a question. You going to complain about the stink? Or are you going to turn it into fertilizer? You going to complain about the sourness of the lemons? Or are you going to turn it into lemonade? You going to complain about the curse? Or are you going to turn it into a blessing? Can I tell you something? A happy man's a working man. America is all freaked out and depressed right now because of the unemployment. Did you hear the news this week? Unemployment rates are down to 6.3%. Do you realize that the highest point? By the way, that's the adjusted number. The real number is about 9.5%. Do you realize that before this current administration, the highest under President Bush was a little over 5%, and we were in the worst recession this country's ever seen? We've accepted it because it's been bad for so long. You take everybody that's retired and on Social Security and everybody that's on unemployment right now, listen to this, and we have more unemployed people in America percentage-wise now than we did it during the depth of the Depression. Over 43% of America does not work. And you wonder why we're racking up trillions of dollars of debt constantly? America better turn the curse into a blessing real fast. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. What's that that's bothering you? What part of the curse is bothering you? What part of that negative is bothering you? Do you want to sit there and complain about it or turn it into a blessing? It's up to you. Will you turn your curse into a blessing?